Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to, the title of this message, and you should have the notes there in your bulletin and all the scriptures that we're going to look at today. But the title of this message is The Power of Mom. And I came across, I always like to read these every Mother's Day, but you know you're a mom when, and these are little jokes. And these are the top 10. You know you're a mom when, and here's number one. You count the sprinkles on each kid's cupcake to make sure they're equal. If you have more than one child, you understand that one. You have time to shave only one leg at a time. And all the ladies said amen to that. Here's a good one. You hide in the bathroom just to be alone. Here's a good one. Your kid throws up and you catch it. Someone else's kid throws up at a party, you keep on eating. You find yourself cutting your husband's sandwiches into cute little shapes. You can't bear to give away baby clothes because it's so final. And you stop criticizing the way your mother raised you. Taya's starting to get right there now. You hire a sitter because you haven't been out with your husband in ages. Then you spend half the night checking on the kids. And here's the number one. You use your own saliva to clean your kid's face. And I know most moms understand that one. So what's the most stressful job description in America today? And I'll give you a hint. The title has three letters in it, and it's mom. And all the moms said amen to that. She is expected to juggle the roles of nutritionist, janitor, nurse, manager, chauffeur, child psychologist, and all the while look like a cover girl. And I love what W.R. Wallace said. He said, and you've probably heard this quote, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And that's so true. I believe every woman who has the title of mom is a hero. So if you have a mom sitting to you, say, "You're my hero." Taya, you need to tell your mom she's your hero. We're going to look at a heroic mother in the Bible that I don't think anybody's ever really heard of. And so where I want you to, I told you to turn to Exodus chapter 2. I'm not putting it on the PowerPoint today. I gave you all the scriptures that you can look up later. But to find this lady's name, you have to actually look in one scripture, and it's Numbers 26, verse 59. And it says, the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed. Look at somebody say, Jochebed. Jochebed. Okay, Jochebed. That was her name. She was the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And to Amram, she bore Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. So we all know who Moses was, right? So this was Moses' mother, was Jochebed. Look at somebody say, Jochebed. It's like, kind of like Mufasa. It's kind of like, say it again. Her father's, and I have a little joke here for you. Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, so her father's last name was Strauss. Levi Strauss, okay. Enough Bible jokes, all right. So here was Jochebed's family, Miriam. We've all heard, you know, the story of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Miriam was in her mid to late teens when Moses was born. And we can find this, and I've wrote out the scriptures so you can see these. You can look this up later. That's found in Exodus 2, verse 8. And she was called a maiden, and this Hebrew term indicates a young woman of marriageable age. So she was in her mid to late teens when Moses was born. Aaron was 3 years old when Moses was born. And we can find this out in Exodus 7, verse 7, because when it says that when Moses was 80, it says Aaron was 83. So Aaron was 3, and Moses was the baby in the family. So to put this, so you moms can understand this, Jochebed was a powerful mom. She was the power of mom. She was raising a teenager, a toddler, and a baby. And all the moms just went blank right when I said, like, oh my gosh, we're dead. Teenager, a toddler, and a baby. And guys, she was a powerful mother. Got another joke I want to read you, okay? And how many of you ever watched the Survivor series? This Survivor, is that still on today? I don't know if it's still on. But here's the next Survivor series. It says, six married men will be dropped off on an island with one car and four kids each for 6 weeks. Each kid plays two sports and either takes music or dance classes. There's no access to fast food. Each man must take care of his four kids, keep his assigned house clean, correct all homework, complete science projects, cook, do laundry, etc. The men only have access to television when the kids are asleep and all chores are done. There's only one TV between them, and there is no remote. Uh-oh. The men must shave. Listen to this. The men must shave their legs, wear makeup daily, which they must apply themselves either while driving or while making four lunches. They must attend weekly PTA meetings, clean up after their sick children at 3 a.m., make an Indian hut model with six toothpicks, a tortilla, and one marker, and get a four-year-old to eat a serving of peas. The kids vote them off the island based on performance. The last man wins only if he has enough energy to be intimate with his spouse at a moment's notice. If the last man does win, he can play the game over and over again for the next 18 to 25 years, eventually earning the right to be called mother. I thought that was so good. So, moms, you are powerful. And if you're a smart man, you say amen to that. And I say amen to that. I've seen Jada in action and my whole life, and she is a powerful mom, isn't she, Taya? You better say yep. Taya's like, I'm her twin. Yes, you are. I got two powerful ladies in my house. But in Exodus chapter 2 is the story of Jochebed, and it's a story of a mother's faith, her courage, and her creativity. And I wanted to read that out of Numbers 26, verse 59, so you knew what her name was. So if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 2, and I'm going to show you, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10 in Exodus 2, and we're going to see the stages of motherhood that every mother passes through through this passage. But in Exodus 2, starting in verse 1, it says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. And we all know that's Jochebed. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off, that's Miriam, to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, thank God Miriam was there, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother, which was her mom as well, Jochebed. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Awesome story. Most of us have heard that story if you've been around church any length of time, or you've heard that in Sunday school, in Moses, and how he was saved and all that. But in the short time that Jochebed had with Moses, you can see the stages of motherhood that every mom goes through with her children. And here's number one, and it's in Exodus 2, verse 2. It says, Jochebed conceived and bore a son, and she saw that he was a beautiful child. And so, ladies, I want you to sit here and remember. I know they're in the back there making you a little craft today. But, ladies, can you remember when you delivered your children? And every lady goes, yes, I can too. I can remember that I was with Jada when Taya was born, and I was trying to be that great dad, that great support system. You know, we went and took the Lamaze class and all that stuff, and so I'm trying to, you know, honey, you need to breathe, and I'll never forget the look she gave me. And it was a look like, I am fixing to rip your head off if you say one more thing. So I was quiet the rest of the time. So I'm not coaching no more. You got this. And I'll never forget when Taya was born and I heard her start crying in the delivery room. And I'll never forget not only the overwhelming responsibility of being a dad, but I remember looking at Jaden like, oh my gosh, you are my hero. I cannot believe that you just did that. And how many guys in here have witnessed that and you're just like, oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, and so you know what you know the power of mom. Thank God God called you ladies to do that. You're way tougher than any of us guys. But here's the thing that I love about this scripture, because when I was reading this and studying this, I love it. It says in verse 2, how many of you know who wrote the book of Exodus? Moses, right? Okay. So it says, Jochebed conceived and bore a son, and she saw that he was a beautiful child. Moses said that about himself. He wrote the book of Exodus. So here's what I want to ask you. How did Moses know that he was a beautiful baby? And here's how he knew. His mother told him, and she knew there was a special anointing upon his life. And ladies, I want to tell you something. You mamas can speak destiny over your children. You can call forth the destinies, the callings, the purposes. You can call forth. I've watched this manifest throughout my whole life. I've heard Jada's prayers for Taya my whole life. Jada praying when she was young for her husband, who is sitting here with her today, and those prayers have been answered, guys. But she was calling that forth from a praying mama. Thank God for praying mamas. Amen. And so you ladies keep praying over your children, calling those things that are not as though they were. We had to do some of that, and calling forth those destinies and their purposes and all that. I mean, we knew. I can remember one of the things, and I know y'all have witnessed it today, was her leading praise and worship. We knew when she was in her car seat after she was born that she was going to be leading praise and worship in God's kingdom. So that was something that God showed us and that we just come in alignment with, and we began to pray that over her. And then boom, here it is. You know, and so those are just, so I'm telling you ladies, you ladies have power in your tongue to speak over your kids, for good or for bad, but speak the good over them. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I know, and we're going to see this as we go through this morning, but Jochebed was that kind of mother. She spoke destiny over her child. And we'll get to that here. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. Okay, here's number two. In Exodus 2, verse 2, at the second part of that scripture, it says she hid him for 3 months. Everybody say 3 months. She hid him for 3 months. And this is what was going on in the kingdom of Egypt. The Egyptian Pharaoh had decreed that every male baby born to the Hebrews must be killed. And so, and how they were going to be killed was by throwing the babies in the Nile River, was his command. And mothers are to hide and protect their children from the dangers in the world so that they can develop and form a healthy, godly character. Mom, you're a hiding place, and the home you have made for them is a hiding place. Where do kids run to when they're hurt? Mama. They run to mama. First Corinthians, and here's what I want to tell you, ladies. 1 Corinthians 15:33, and as your kids, because I know we got some younger mom, and you still do this even as they get older. But 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." You control who your kids are around. Amen. We live in a day and age where that's kind of went out the window, and I've even heard parents say, "Well, it's upside down, the family model. The kids are running the house and not the parents. Parents need to run the house." Amen? Mom and dad. And you need to, you know, speaking in their lives, hide them from bad influences, from friends, from bad authority figures, certain family members or people. You know, there's times you have to monitor the computer, the TV, what they're reading. Those you're the doorkeeper to their life. You really are. And, you know, we've all heard the tragedy of the Columbine school, and when they, you know, when all that happened in years past, and when they did the investigation, they found all this stuff in this kid's room, and the parents were saying their room is their space. They had never even went in their room and said what was going on. And no, their room is your room. It's underneath your roof. You take care. You're the doorkeeper, and you're supposed to hide them from things. You can't hide them forever, but you're there to protect them and to mold them and shape them with their morals and their values and convictions and things like that. All right, here's number three. This is in Exodus 2, verse 3. It says that as Moses grew, she could no longer hide him. How many of you know that little baby, especially baby boys, they grow fast? I'm keeping my little nephew right now, Grayson, and that boy can eat. I thought I could eat. He can eat. He can stay up with me. This is where you say, my baby is growing up. How many moms are saying that in here? Yeah. My baby's growing up. And you know you can't be with them all the time. And here's a good example, and I can remember this. Do you remember how you felt on their first day of school? Yes, we all do. a lot of moms don't do very well when this time comes. And when they finally realize I can't hide them any longer. And I know Mallory's mom's over there, Jennifer's going, I can't hide her no longer. Now she's graduating. She's going into the real world, going into college and all those things. And I'll never forget in our household when Taya went to school her first day. And Taya was the first born child in our home. And she was very independent, very strong-willed. I don't know where she gets that at. I think it's from her mom, but no, I'm just kidding. She's a good mix of mom and dad. But I'll never forget the first day that she went to school, she told Jada was going to go in there. You know how moms, you do, go in and meet the teacher and all that. She got out of the car, and she looked at Jada, and she says, Mom, I'm okay. You need to go. And Jada's like, no, I'm not. I'm going in there with you. Taya's already Miss Independent. I can do this all by myself. So what you have to do when those times come in life, and they're going to come, you must respond like Jochebed did. You must respond in faith and make them a basket that will float when the river of life begins to flood them. Mallory's getting in a little basket and floating down the river. You know, we had to do that with Taya as well. I'm picking on Mallory this morning because we prayed over it, and she's graduating. But this basket that you're making for your children, it must contain convictions, morals, principles, and values that are based on the Word of God. Not on this world, on the Word of God. And so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, and he will, we fight a real enemy, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. They're going to float and rise above it because of the Word of God that's inside of them. And that's Isaiah 59, verse 19. And then we see that here's the other part of verse 3. We see the fourth thing is it says that Jochebed, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And this is where the release point happened with her. And this is letting go and letting God. And I'm going to tell you, Mom, something. You can't be their Holy Spirit. You can't be their Holy Spirit Junior. You can't be Miss Fix-It all the time. You must let them face the river of life on their own. And everybody said, amen. Their choices and things like that, they're going to have to make. And you can help guide them, but there comes that time where you got to release them. There's a story I want to tell. Taya's like, go for it. I'm home. He's always telling stories on me. No, it's okay. It's a good story. It's a good story. Tell it? Okay. Huh? Do you think it's about Theo? It's about the birthday? The story, when they're growing up, you have to do the part of parenting is called commanding when they're little, and you have to command certain things. And Taya we wanted her, Jade and I, we had instilled in her that you can do anything. You know, God is with you. God is for you. You're a winner. You're an overachiever. You're all these things. And boy, then there came a time as she was growing up that we was putting this faith in her and just telling her, you can conquer the world. You can do all this stuff, you know. And little did I know, when she got about 5, I thought, OMG, I have created a monster, okay? I mean, she is maybe a little bit overconfident. And it happened at Red Johnson Ford. I'll never forget this. At Red Johnson Ford, where Red, which is her granddad, we call him Fuzzes, so he's got the big old mustache, she would play games with him all the time. And Red would let her win, whether it was they'd play softball out on the showroom floor, or they would come into his office and they had these little dice game that they would do, and he would always let her win. And so finally one day I told Red, I said, Red, here's the deal. I want you to start beating Taya. You know, make her lose and teach her how to lose, because Jade and I have created a monster. I said, she just thinks she's got to win all the time, and she don't know how to lose with grace. And we're trying to teach her some of these things at the age of 5, so that when she's a teen, you know, I was seeing backfiring on us all through life. And so Red, particular day, brought her in there and he beat her at a game. And I tell you, sold up, bawled, threw a fit. I mean, it was bad. And so on our way home, there's 23 miles from Red Johnson Ford to Leedy. On the way home, I gave her a good little speech about the way that she acted at Mimi and Fuzz's, and that we don't act like that. And I gave her this big old long, you know, coaching speech about you're going to lose some and you got to lose with grace and you can't have attitude and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I talked to her all the way home and she just sat over there in the front seat like this. And I preached to her all the way home. The very next day, we get to work, and I didn't tell Red that I had talked to Tay all the way home. The very next day, she came to Red Johnson Ford again, and she came in there and sat down in Red's office, and Red began to give his speech about it. I hadn't told Red to do it. He just, as a good granddad, he was going to do it. And Tay was sitting there looking at Red, and she said, Fuzzes, if this is the speech about losing, I've already heard it from my dad. Oh, so you've got to teach them, and because life is ups and downs, guys. Life is winning and losing. It's all of that in between, and you've got to teach them how to have grace and all those kind of things. And going back to Jochebed, this is very interesting because I was like, okay, where did she get this idea from? Okay, Pharaoh is having all the young boys killed, you know, being thrown in the Nile River to the crocodiles and all these things. Where did she get this idea about building a little mini boat, you know? And I believe, because she was a Hebrew woman, she knew the story that had been passed down orally of how Noah built an ark to save mankind. And so by faith, she knew this story. By faith, she said, I'm going to build something like God told Noah to build for my son. And she built an ark. And she knew through the oral tradition, because see, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy wasn't written yet. Who wrote that? Her son wrote that. But she was the one in putting those things into him, even when he was young. And so she knew this story about the ark, and the ark symbolizes salvation. And when she placed Moses in her little made ark that she made, it was symbolic of every mom placing their child in the hands of Jesus. That's what she did. And she did it by faith. God, I want you to catch that, because there was a lot of fear running rampant in the Hebrew women of that day that had young boys because of what Pharaoh was doing to them. And she did this by faith. Do you think she was afraid? Oh, yeah, she was afraid. But she was taking scripture. God had given her this idea to make an ark and put her little boy in it, and she did it. Now, I love this in verses 7 and 8 of Exodus 2. It says, then his sister Miriam, remember she was probably a teenager at that time, said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall and look at the wisdom of a teenager. Did you know that teenagers can't have wisdom? And everybody said, amen. Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? She's like, I know somebody, it's my mama. She'll nurse this child. In verse 8 it says, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. So here's the three women and a baby. It's not three men and a baby, it's three women and a baby. It was Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter. And in verse 9, it says that, then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me. And listen to this, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Pharaoh's daughter even paid her to raise her own child. Isn't that awesome? And I see some of your moms like, "I wish somebody would pay me something." So during the time that Jochebed nursed Moses, she loved him, she cared for him, she prayed over him, she spoke life and destiny over him, and I believe that she prophesied over him just like we prayed over Mallory today, just like we've prayed over our daughters, like some of you moms have prayed over yours. But she, this is what I love about it, she was even paid for being his mom. Some of you like out there, "I'm ready for my check to come in." It's coming. Verse 10 says, we don't know what age Moses was when Jochebed gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter. We don't know that age. However, we do know this, that around the age of 40, Jochebed's prayers were being answered and prophecies were coming to pass, and Moses began to question his identity. Who am I and why am I here at the age of 40? Because it was going back to what his mom did with him in those early years. In Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Isn't that awesome? So look at Exodus 2, verse 10. It says, and the child grew, talking about Moses, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. And this symbolizes us being saved and adopted into the family of God. There's a picture of the gospel in all of this as well. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And so in Egypt, an adopted son would possess all the rights of a son born into the family, and we have been adopted into God's family, receiving an eternal inheritance. Moses was being adopted into Pharaoh's court, and he received everything that Pharaoh had. I want to show you some more similarities here of the gospel. The Father sent Moses right into Pharaoh's courts to become his judge of Egypt and the deliverer of the Hebrew nation. Moses gave up his Egyptian rights to become the deliverer of Israel. The Father sent Jesus right into Satan's courts to become his judge and the deliverer of all mankind. Jesus gave up his throne to come to this world to become our deliverer. And everybody said amen. So that's a type and Moses was a type and shadow of Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, I want you to flip over, and I'm going to end with these scriptures here today, to Hebrews chapter 11. Because I'm going to tell you guys, and your moms, and even the dads that are here today, there's no handbook written. I mean, there's lots of things you can learn from different people about raising kids. But it takes faith to raise children. Amen? It takes faith to raise children. You got to have faith in God. In Hebrews 11, in verses 23 through 29, I want to show you this about and I want you to think about this. This was, even though it's talking about Moses, this was the legacy of faith passed through motherhood to Moses. So this is Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 29. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who had destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. And the key words, what I just read to you out of Hebrews 11, was by faith. Not afraid, not fear, not by fear, but by faith. Mothering today takes faith and courage. And if you're a mom, you need to say amen to that. It takes faith and courage. There's a Spanish proverb, and I wrote it there in your notes for you today. It says, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. A lot of people say, well, I'll take him to the pastor and pastor will straighten him up. I had a guy tell me that one time. I had a guy say, well, pastor, you need to take care of him. And I'm like, nope, he's your son. You know, that happens at home. I can't raise him. That's already there instilled in him. I can't change. Now, I can meet with people and counsel with them and all those kind, and I love doing that. But this guy was actually basically saying, would you adopt him and raise him? And I'm like, no. This is yours. You've created this. You need to take care of this. Moses' faith, courage, and creativity, I want you to see this in Hebrews 11, came from his mama, Jochebed, that we never hear of. Jochebed means God is her glory. That's what her name means. Glorious and honorable. God honored her by putting her in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 23. I know it never mentions her name, but she is there. She had the legacy of faith, was passed through motherhood to Moses. Mamas, you're passing your faith to your kids every day. And Proverbs 31, verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And I want to have everyone say today, Happy Mother's Day. Say, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. The most precious natural resource today is a mom. Amen. Ladies, you have a very important job. And you may be here today, and this is how we're going to close today. I'm going to have a couple of closings, if you know me. Because I know the guys are back there saying, Pastor Mark, it's 7 minutes till 12. We're ready for you to release the mamas. Release the mamas. But you may have, I don't know how the best way to put this, but you may have not had a good mother, you know, that was really there for you and all those things. You know, and you're like, well, I didn't have a good example. Well, that's when you let God be your example. You know, I said earlier, God is father and mother all in one. That's who he is. He's God the Father, but he's got all the nature and characteristics of men and women because we were created in his image, all wrapped up in one. And you can look to him to help teach you how to be a good mama to your kids when they come. And then I know there's some here today that we prayed earlier, you know, that your mom's in heaven, and some of us are mothers today that have, you know, children in heaven. Guys, this is an awesome day to celebrate your mom, whether they're here or not. If they are here, I encourage you to call your mom today and tell them how much you love them and how much you appreciate them. I'll just be honest with you, I have a mother. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have a mother. It was funny, Debbie came up to me and I said Happy Mother's Day to Debbie, and she almost said Happy Mother's Day back, and I said, well, I did have something to do with it. never mind. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. I walked right into that one. But call your mom today and tell them how much, you know, I'm just thinking about my mom today. You know, I made a post on Facebook yesterday because I knew we had a busy day today, and my mother was actually 16 when she got pregnant with me and 17 when she had me. Thank God she had me. As a teenage pregnancy, she had me, and I appreciate my mama today. But, you know, right now you may feel like Jochebed today, and you feel like you're in the bull rushes of life, unable to see out of your troubles, and I want you to just encourage you to focus on the Lord today and trust him for the way out. That's all he needs to begin to his work in you, is just for you to trust and put your faith in him. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God is faithful. But I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. Two things we're going to do before we leave today. First of all, I'm just going to make sure that everyone before they leave today is saved and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I want you to repeat this prayer after me. It's not just a religious ritual or rote to repeat this prayer. This is a prayer of salvation. This is a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because Romans 10 tells us to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. So I want to help you do that. Call upon his name. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. I want to speak a blessing over you today before you leave. God bless all the mamas in here. Happy Mother's Day. But I want to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Happy Mother's Day. Love you guys. Have a blessed day. Don't forget about baccalaureate this evening at 7 p.m. And you mamas have a blessed day. Love you guys. Blessings.